Join me in the book of Luke, please, chapter 22. We will leave Colossians for just today. And while you're heading to Luke, chapter 22, verse 7, let me remind you of the baby shower this afternoon. It's a drop-in from 3 to 4:30 for Miss Kelly and Daniel. So I hope you can come and be a part of that and encourage them as we await this new little one. Join me in Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Hear the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the living God. Then came the day of the unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and I'll hold that other text till later, Doug. The day of the week was Thursday, and as the scriptures have given us, it was time for the Passover meal. Jesus and his disciples were traveling back to Jerusalem, and so he sent his disciples, Peter and John, on ahead to go and make preparations for this final meal. And there was really no time to lose because the Passover meal had to be prepared and then it had to be eaten between sundown and midnight of that Thursday evening. So the disciples would have to go and purchase the food from the markets and then begin the preparation, the unleavened bread, the wine, the bitter herbs, then secure the lamb, etc. And the disciples entered the city, and shortly after noon they procured the room as Jesus had told them. Took the lamb to the temple, as was the custom under Moses' law, sacrificing the animal using the priests, and then that lamb roasted with the bitter herbs, again, according to the law of Moses. And you see, this was no ordinary meal. This was no ordinary time. It was the Passover, a very, very critical, special time in the Israelites' history. Special arrangements and preparations had to be made. And preparations were meticulous and exact. If you go back and look through the law of Moses and the great pains that God gave the people to prepare for this time and for this meal, everything was to be done exactly, precisely, meticulously, according to the law. Great preparations were made for this very, very special meal. And so it is today here with us. We have prepared, as you see the table before you, this meal, and preparations for this day began several weeks ago. Several folks have been involved in making the breads, purchasing the juice, and preparing the table. They came in early this morning to prepare this table for you. Bulletins were printed. Hymns, special hymns for along this line were selected. So great preparations have been made for this very, very special meal. We, like the disciples, on a different scale altogether, I hope, see this very special meal, this very, very special occasion that we have before us. These are the physical preparations made for this meal. But there's another realm of preparation I'd like to bring to your attention here this morning. You see, the things that I've been talking about to this point, as I said, are physical, the things you can see. But now as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, there's another preparation that needs to be made before you or I take this meal. Two verses for you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. If you'd like to turn there, it's on the projection in front of you. Paul has already given us the words of institution, which I will give to you later. But here is the particular part of preparation that he is calling on us to do. He says, "Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let the person examine himself," or herself, of course, "and then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. Is Paul telling the Corinthians that they should stop what they're doing and do that examination of themselves? That in-depth, taking into consideration the body, the bread, the cup, all that's taking place here. Should I today be exhorting you to do that self-examination to ensure that you are in the proper state before you come to this table, and therefore not coming to the table, as Paul says, in an unworthy manner? Therefore, if you do come, I come in an unworthy manner, then there is judgment to be pronounced upon us. And so, yes, I am profoundly saying we must prepare ourselves. The physical preparations, yes. But we must step back, understanding the gravity of what is before us, and saying to ourselves within our person, am I ready? Am I prepared to take this table? The Corinthians were guilty of coming to the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. There were stark divisions in the church. They came to indulge themselves in the food and wine, not seeing it as the Lord's supper, but a time to come together to enjoy the food and the wine and to be merry. They did not see the symbolism. They did not remember, as Jesus had told them. They even restrained certain individuals from coming to the table. Those that were of a lower class, a lower estate in the church, in Corinth, they would not allow them to come to the table. They came to this most special meal with wrong motives, wrong intentions, wrong ambition, not understanding, not taking into consideration anything about what was about to be done here. So Paul, hearing of this practice, writes in his letter here, can't do that. Because if you do, you will bring judgment upon yourself. He goes on to say, this is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died. Because they came to the table in an inferior manner. He writes, let a man, a woman, examine themselves. Let a man examine himself. Okay, what are we to search for? What are we to be questioning in this examination? What does it consist of? Well, there's a varying degree of answers here, but I will start with an answer Jesus gave by looking at the comments he made when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? You know his response, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. A very awesome, almost unbelievable statement. As I've said many times, we can understand love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's God. That's what we're supposed to do. But when he says, and in Matthew he says even, that the second one is like it, meaning that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves just as we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And so here, when we start examining ourselves, here's two spheres of our life that we should be looking at. Our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then also our relationships with our neighbors. And who are our neighbors? Anyone we meet. A lot of examining to do. We're to first look at our relationship with the Lord. Answer the question. Do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind? Every ounce that is you, is it in love with God? Do we recognize the grace given us out of his love for us? And as we identify God to be God, and as Calvin says, as soon as we understand God, we understand our depravity. And as soon as we understand our depravity, we understand the glory and the grace and the love of God. And so we must understand that state, that relationship, and come quickly to confess our sin, acknowledging our unworthiness because of the sin, our unworthiness to even come to this table. Because you see, we cannot come, should not come to this table until we first understand who we are as sinners and who Christ is as the Redeemer, and knowing that, yes, this is a table of grace. And that's the only way we could come to this table. I deserve nothing here. Secondly, we are to examine our relationship with our neighbors. Our family, our neighbors, extended family, work peers, schoolmates. Are we in good standing? Are we in good favor with those around us? Have we done or said anything that might estrange us from those that we would see as our neighbors? This, of course, includes our friends, our family, our peers, those we meet in our daily lives. You see, the Corinthians did not understand the significance of this meal. They did not see it as a commemoration of the work of Jesus Christ. They did not see it as an act of love that they should extend toward their neighbors. They were actually restraining people from the table, saying, "You're not good enough." Which in default was saying they were. Paul's instructions here are clear. And while we go through text and find many answers about what we are to look at and see in ourselves as we examine, I just hold these two for us here this morning. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor. You see, this is a very holy, sacred, important time. The table before you represents the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and he did that for you. He did that to bring justice to the Father's name, but he then brought the Father's love and grace and mercy to you by enacting and doing what the Father had given him, and we remember it with this table. And then, as I mentioned in the prayer on that day, at that very perfect time, the Holy Spirit brought that work of redemption to you, to me, so that we would be numbered among the children of God. If this morning you find some reason in your heart that might prevent you from taking this table, enjoying this table, then I would ask that you let these elements pass, because I do not want it to be said about you or me that if we do this in an unworthy manner, then we could bring judgment upon ourselves. It is much better to let the elements pass. Spend this time in prayer and then remedy that situation that you think might be or is that thing that would prevent you from coming to this table. The disciples were sent to prepare for the Passover just as Jesus directed. We here in this congregation have prepared for this morning's great occasion. You should make the preparations to enjoy the blessings of this table. Jesus Christ prepared for this table, that you might have access to it. And just as he told his disciples when he broke that bread, and I will tell you again in a moment, do all of this in remembrance of me. But remember, as we are prepared to come to this table. Amen.